So glad you're here, kids. I'm excited. And you endured. You persevered. You endured our worship and our long, and not that it was, you know, endure worthy. But when you're a kid, it can be a little bit. See, when I went to church as a kid, I learned two things about adult service. And that was sit still and shut up. That's exactly how my mom said it to me, okay? And how I learned that was kind of through trial by pinch. I think you know what I'm talking about. Hey, today I've got a problem, a math problem that we're going to work on together. All of us are going to work on it. I know, I was like, oh my gosh, it's not even school day. I know you don't want to go to school today, but I have this math problem, and it goes like this. Five, say it with me, 5 + 5 = 11. That's a problem, isn't it? 5 + 5 = 11. How many think that's true? Raise your hand. Smart people. Smart people, because I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. But before we go there, nope, it's not 10. I'm going to show you. Before we go there, let's pray. Father, help me to show this young man that 5 + 5 = 11. At least one way it does. Holy Spirit, have your way in our short time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Who can tell me who this is? Anybody know who this is? Darcy Lynn, she won America's Got Talent and was very good. Didn't she win it? Yeah. She's from Oklahoma. That's why she probably won. That's just it. All of a sudden, ventriloquism, besides Jeff Dunham, but ventriloquism got a spotlight, and people thought, wow, that's pretty cool, and she's pretty good and all that. I got a chance to see a movie recently. You may have seen this movie. Who knows who this is? Toy Story 4. Do you know who those characters are? The girl is Gabby Gabby. And what's that guy's name? Vincent. Vincent. Isn't he cute? Doesn't he look cute? He's so cute until you see him like that. Wow. Don't take your kids to that movie. That's a scary one. He kind of reminded me of this guy. Anybody know who that is? Yeah, that's Slappy. And Slappy needed to be slapped because he's scary. See, I want to tell you about a little boy. When he was 5 years old, his mom and his dad gave him a ventriloquist doll, and it wasn't Slappy. Gave him a ventriloquist doll. A five-year-old. Who gives a five-year-old boy a doll? Well, these parents thought it would be cool. They gave him this doll, and it came with an album. Does anybody know what an album is? All the old toots do. Okay. It was an album of instruction. You have an album? Okay, I'm glad. They didn't have tapes and all that stuff at that day. Had an album, and this is what that doll looked like. It's much nicer than Slappy, right? It's not Charlie. It's not Charlie. That's Danny O'Day. Danny O'Day. And that five-year-old boy spun that album and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it and practiced in front of a mirror until one day he got a gig. That's right. He was invited to do a performance at the Lions Club. Pretty big deal. They laughed so hard. His little dummy, Danny, had funny jokes. Like he would say, Danny, say hello to this audience. And he would say, hello to this audience. Say, no. Danny, just say hello. That's enough. Hello, that's enough. Now, Danny, stop being that way. Just stop. Now, tell me, what do you think of this audience? And he would say things like, I like that bald-headed man over there. And say, no, Danny, that's not nice. Isn't that funny? I had hair then. That's not nice. Now, you apologize to him, and he would say, I'm sorry, sir, that you don't have any hair. Wait a minute. That five-year-old little boy was me. was me. And once you do the Lions Club, you're almost a shoe-in for the Lion Tamers, which is the women's auxiliary. And before you know it, I was at the Rotary. I was at the JCs, the Chamber of Commerce. Tell you what, I was moving up. There came a time as I grew and continued that working on that craft that I had to get another guy. So I got Mortimer McSnerd. Mortimer McSnerd would say things like, "Hey, you look me in the tooth when you say that." I know it's not politically correct now, but, and I'm sorry if you're a snagglepuss out there. I didn't mean anything by it. I'm so sorry. Finally, the day came. Finally, the day came when I was moving up big time, big time. And I went from Danny O'Day and Mortimer McSnerd, and occasionally I'd have them both, to Danny O'Day Deluxe. Now, he looks a little creepy right there, but that's because his eyes actually moved. And he had real hair. But my parents didn't spring for the money for the hair. That was an upgrade. Okay, he still had the plastic hair. But my mom had an old wiglet. You probably don't know what a wiglet is. It's like a little tiny thing that if you see it laying on the couch when it's not on your mom, you think there's an animal in the house. And she took that wiglet and glued it to his head and styled it with more hairspray than, that's why we have an ozone problem today. It was from that one thing. Danny O'Day, and she gave him hair, and his head moved too. He was, and his eyes would move. He was the real creepy deal. My mom gave me hair too. You just didn't know it. That's my Grizzly Adam days when I met my wife, Kelly. She looks the same. I'm in there somewhere. Oh, and by the way, Kurt told us a few weeks ago how he always wanted to be a cowboy. I was a cowboy. There's no wanting to be. I was a cowboy. I know, it's impressive, isn't it? And then as I grew, I put that down about 12 years old. All of a sudden, I figured out it might not be too cool to play with dolls as a 12-year-old, almost teenager. Man, what if I'd have kept doing it? I could be an old bald guy doing ventriloquism. I could have been. So I get married, I have kids, and all of a sudden, that whole part of my life has been set aside, forgotten about, what have you. But it was an opportunity that God put before me, and I took it, and I ran with it. I did the best that I could with it. Then I met this guy. That's George. Now, we named him George. I'm not sure why we did. And there is a donkey in the Old Testament, Balaam's donkey, who he was riding on him, and he was going somewhere on his donkey that God did not want him to go, and so he sent an angel to Balaam. And the angel stood in front of the donkey with his sword, and the donkey says, "Not going that way." And he went off out into the field, and Balaam starts beating his donkey, and three times this happened until finally they were at a place where they could. There was no place to go to the left or to the right. He was stuck. Angel right in front, and Balaam is, "Why are you not going?" And he's beating his donkey, and God gave him the supernatural ability to speak to Balaam. And he says, "Why are you beating me?" Now, that would freak me out. And then his eyes were opened, and he could see the angel, and Balaam bowed down and said, and because the angel said, "Why are you beating your donkey? Bad enough that you didn't see me." He said, "It's a good thing there's your donkey stopped, because if you'd have come up here close to me, I probably would have killed you. So you need to listen to your donkey if he's talking to you, okay?" But that was old George. Uh-oh. And that's me. George was at Gospel Acres, where we sang, Gospel Acres is the place to be. Godly living is the life for me. Praise spreading out so far and wide. Keep God first and keep living that godly life. And then Kelly would come out in her square dance dress. Jesus is the one I love. And by the way, I am wearing a coat and a tie there, but I really wore overalls in those days. So we were in Oklahoma. And that's Elmo. Elmo, it was Elmo before there was an Elmo on Sesame Street. And Elmo could never sing a song right. He always messed them up. And he never got memory verses right. He always messed them up. But then the time came where we moved into other realms, like Faith Man. Faith Man. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Faith Man. Faith Man was always leading the way. He was helping us figure out how we as kids can have faith, how we can believe for God's promises. That the Bible says that every promise of God is yes and amen in him. Every promise in him is yes and amen. And that there's always somebody, and that was this guy, who was trying to dissuade us. That's old Negatron. Negatron. He was negative, always trying to mess us up. But we know that the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Key words there is, he's not the roaring lion. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Jesus is the true Aslan, so to speak. One time we were up here praying, and I promise, one of us prayed to Aslan. We were in the middle of a prayer. Because of, well, anyway, you'd have to see the movies to understand. He's not the lion. He's like a lion. And he's looking whom he may devour. And we say he may not devour me. Someday we're going to be in glory with the Lord. It could be on this earth as he returns. Or it could be if we leave this earth to go be with him before that time comes. But either way, we're going to get there and we're going to see old Negatron. And we're going to go, that's what gave me all that trouble? That's what gave me all that trouble? That's why we got to listen to our heart. That's why it's important to have Jesus go into our heart. It's so important that we guard our heart above all else because it determines the course of our life. Heart. You know, the funny thing is, when we started Lift, God did something in my heart. The Bible talks about removing your heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh. I didn't even know I had a hard heart. But I had hardened myself because I had been hurt so many times by so many people. And he gave me a heart of flesh. And to have a heart of flesh, you got to be vulnerable. You just can't say I got hurt, so I'm never going to put myself in a position to be hurt again. Because to do that is to not put yourself in a position to be loved and blessed as well. And so the actual argument comes from this guy, Mr. Brain. Because see, Mr. Brain wants to figure it all out. He has to know the why. But why do I have to guard my heart? Why do I need to follow Jesus? Why is it important for this or that? That's your brain. I'm so glad God gave us brains. I'm praying he'll give some to you too. I'm so glad that I have a mind and a will and emotions, my soul, that I can use to do the things he's called me to do. But I'm also glad that he gave me his word. He gave me his word that says this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I have to make myself not think about some things because they're not true. They're not noble. They're not lovely. They're not admirable. They're not excellent or praiseworthy. That's a battle of the mind, right? The Bible says to renew your mind. It's a renewal. Man, you can get saved. You can ask Jesus in your heart. I don't care if you're 5 or 500. And your spirit comes alive to God. Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. But your mind could still be thinking some stuff. Your mind can still be telling you to do things that do not. As a matter of fact, your body, you're a mind, will, and emotions. You have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body, and you have a spirit man. Your spirit man gets born again. Your spirit man comes alive to God when you ask Jesus in your heart. Your body wants to do whatever it wants to do all the time, 100% of the time. Well, I'm tired. That's your body. I don't feel like doing it. That's your body. I'm sad. That's your mind, will, and emotions doing that. And so there is a decision being made all the time, and you can't do it on your own. That's why you need this guy right here. Who's that? That's Jesus. Yeah? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm sending my Holy Spirit to be with you. That's like having Jesus with you all the time, because he is. He lives inside of you. And here's what he said about himself. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Okay, well, I get the sheep, but what about me, Lord? Well, that's why we had this guy. Because we are the sheep. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Isn't that funny how God uses sheep, calls his people sheep? Because sheep, they're not very bright. We used to have a character in children's church, and his name was, I'm not too bright. And he'd come in, he would have everything all messed up. I'm not too bright. Could have just as easily been a sheep. Because sheep are not very bright. But that's what he calls us. But the best part is, he's our shepherd. So it's okay. As a matter of fact, if we were really, 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 really smart, sometimes we decide we'd just take care of things ourselves. Or is that really, really dumb to do that? I think it's dumb. I think when you think you got it all figured out, that's a good time for you to go, wait a minute, I probably don't. Lord, lead me, guide me. Shepherd, would you lead me and guide me? Because I probably am missing something here. That's why we brought this guy in every once in a while. You know who that is? That's Mr. Tongue. Or in this case, Mrs. Tongue. This was a tongue. We'd have a tongue come in. Because you know. You've heard the phrase, I just need to bite my tongue. That doesn't mean actually bite your tongue. That means shut it. Shut it up. Because you more often than not regret what you said, not what you didn't say. That's why you have two ears. One tongue. You should be listening twice as much as you're speaking. There is a time to speak. But I want you to know there's probably more often times for you to zip it. And let me tell you why. The Bible says every word is confirmed by two or more witnesses. If you go to court or you go to your teacher and someone says, Randy hit me. He hit me. And I go to the teacher and I say, I didn't hit you. Then the teacher has to decide who's telling the truth. But if there's a couple of other kids over there that says, yeah, I saw him hit her. Sorry, Kelly. I saw him hit her. Now the teacher has a better decision. Hey, there's witnesses. So I believe you did it. So you're in trouble. And now you have punishment coming. Okay? Well, we have witnesses to what we say. As a matter of fact, when you say things like, I'm stupid, because so-and-so told me I'm stupid, there's somebody there ready, old Negatron. Negatron, he's ready to say, yes and amen. You are stupid. And confirm it, make it so. It's so because I am a witness to that. But if you say, I am a child of God, I have the mind of Christ, and if I can't figure it out, he can help me with an answer. When you do that, you have a witness there too. His name is the Father God Almighty, Jesus Christ, your Savior, and Holy Spirit who lives in you. That's three in one. Mr. Tongue would come in, We'd spray Mr. Tongue down with water. So if Mr. Tongue leaned over and touched a kid, it'd wake him up. I needed tongue to come in here today, didn't I? Here's what the Bible says about that tongue. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your tongue has the power of life and death. And there where it says those who love it will eat its fruit, I love fruit. I love fruit, so I'm going to eat the fruit. I love the tongue, so I'm going to eat the fruit. Wait a minute. That ain't what that's talking about. That's talking about people who are flapping their tongue about things they don't know about. You're going to have consequences for opening your mouth. The fruit of what you said. So again, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Shady. You ever played that quiet game? I always lost that game. And I still do. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said in Matthew. Listen to this. This is good. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. What's that talking about? That's talking about lying. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not true and somebody else says it, don't agree with it. Because you'll eat the fruit. You'll eat the fruit of that. Then we had this guy, Uncle Pester. I had an infatuation with bald puppets, I think. And I had hair. Uncle Pester, another bald puppet. I know what you're thinking, but I still had some hair in that day. Look at this guy. Look at all that hair. Man, I had some hair. Uncle Pester was so negative. He was just negative, but he was funny, but he was negative. He'd come up and he would complain about everything, and his big catchphrase was, "Thanks." And then he'd disappear. And about a minute later, you'd hear him say, "For nothing." He did it all the time. And the longer the wait for that, the funnier it was with the kids, because they're all yelling, "For nothing! For nothing! Thanks for nothing!" So as days grew, I grew, my hair didn't, it fell out. The puppets got taller, the head, and some of them got wider. Before you knew it, man, there were puppets everywhere. We had so many puppets. We were involved in so many puppets. We did a lot of Carmen songs to puppet shows. We used kids, not teenagers, kids, fifth graders, sixth graders, fourth graders. I'll tell you someday about the mouse that invaded the puppet set behind the set right before they performed. It was a good day. So what does that have to do with our math problem? Of 5 plus 5 equals 11. Well, I'm going to quickly show you. I'm going to read it because I'm going to make it quick because I'm literally closing. Look here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far city who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. This is says talent, but it's not really talking like talent, like I had a talent to do a ventriloquist doll, dummy. Okay, it's a dummy. Talent was probably a bag of, it was a weight. It was probably a bag of riches. It could have been 1,000 gold coins. And he gave one of them 5 bags of gold coins. It was a lot of money, whatever it was. It was very valuable. And this owner gave one guy 5 bags, 5 talents, another guy 2 bags, and one bag. So here's what happened. The one with 5, and then the owner went off. Jesus is telling this story. It's a parable. It didn't really happen, but he's using a story to explain something to us. And so the one guy with the 5 bags, the 5 talents, he took it and he worked it and used it and he made 5 more. The one with 2 did the same thing. He took it, he worked it. I don't know what he did, doesn't say. But he got 2 more. But the one with 1 that was given 1 talent, 1 bag, he took it and he was afraid of the master because he did not want to lose the money. Didn't want to lose the valuable, so he took it and he dug a hole and he buried it. A long time later, the master returned, and he said, "It's time to settle up. Come show me what you did." The one with 5 came in excited. "Look, master, here's the 5 you gave me, and look, 5 more. The one with two did the same thing. Look, master, you gave me two. You entrusted me to two. And look, there are two more. They were excited. The third guy come in. He wasn't so excited, but he had the one. He said, I know you're a hard man. What? And he walked in fear. He was afraid. And he said, but here's, you gave me one. Here's your one. I didn't lose it. You wouldn't think you'd get in trouble for that, right? And the owner, the master said, you're a lazy and evil man. If you thought I was hard, if you thought I was going to be harsh, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and you could have made a little bit of interest instead of just burying it? And here's what he said. Ready? 5 + 5 = 11. One guy had five, he made five more. One guy had two, he made two more. So he had 10, he had four, and the guy that had one just had one. Look what happened. Therefore, take the talent from him, the one who had one, and give it to him who has 10 talents. So he had five, he made five, and then the lazy servant's one was given to him. 5 + 5 = 11. Told you, I'd prove it. Now look at this. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Here's what I want you to understand. Talent in this example for me today is opportunity. Talent, it was a bag of money. It wasn't his singing ability or his ability to make money. It was an opportunity. He gave the one with five talents, he gave him an opportunity to do and to be a part of who the master was. Okay? So talent actually equals opportunities. And I believe God's given you opportunities all the time. As a matter of fact, your opportunities in life are God's gift to you. What you do with your opportunities is your gift back to God. I want all the boys and girls from Lift Kids to come up here right now. Hurry, quick, run, run. I'm late. Late, late, late. Come up here. All Lift Kids, come up here. And your workers that work with them, come up here. Come up here. Stand right here. Turn around, face me. Make a group right here. These are opportunities. They're your opportunities. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to grow them? Are you going to invest in them? Are you going to help them to double and improve? That's right. I want you to stretch your hands out up here. Boys and girls, I am so happy you're in church with me. I am so blessed that you're in church with me, and the devil is so scared that you're in church with us because you have power and you're important, and you don't have to wait till you grow up. It's right now. So right now, we pray for you. And we declare that your portion is double plus one, double plus one, double plus one for every boy and girl up here and everyone that's listening to my voice by podcast, double plus one for you. That's right. Double plus one. That's better than buy one, get one free. Double plus one, because they didn't have to buy the first. It was just given to them. Double plus one. Come on, say it with me. Double plus one. Double plus one. Double plus one. Double plus one. Now, let's all lift our hands up. Holy Spirit, we're going to walk out of here from this place. We're going to go eat somewhere, maybe home, maybe a restaurant. But we're taking our double plus one presence of you, because where you are, things change, and you live in me. And so now I know. Now I know. And I have double plus one. I thank you for all of my opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand as they go back to their seats.
Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're welcome, Caleb. I actually brought a couple of friends, but that's another day. That's another day. Stand up with me, would you? I brought a couple puppet friends. That's another day. She says, oh, Lord. She didn't like them when I took them home. They were naughty at home. Let's lift up our hands. Say, double plus one for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you go, I know it's late, but I'm going to release a word to you that Scott Abke, one of our overseers, sent me last week. And when I first heard it, I thought, well, you know, I don't know if that bears witness with me. And then whenever Pastor Chris shared it with our staff in our staff meeting Tuesday, because he sent it to me and Chris, I'm listening to it, and I was going to say, you know, I'm not sure it really resonated with me. And as he was saying it, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's me. Okay? So it could just be me, but I don't think so. I think it's you too. He said this, I sense that many in the body there feel under attack. This is a strategy of distraction from the enemy. The attacks seem more heavy than they actually are. This is part of the strategy. It is meant to demoralize and take people off of their true spiritual focus. I believe that a corporate prayer of agreement will break this attack and break the discouragement and confusion off of the body. Be encouraged. If the enemy is attacking, it is because something powerful is on the way. Did you agree with that? Do you want to corporately bind the devil with me? Father, right now we bind the enemy and we say, no, you may not take our harvest. We say, no, you may not take our health. We say, no, you may not squander our finances. We say, no, you may not bring division in my family any longer. We say, no, my body is not yours. My body and my health and my divine health has been purchased with the blood of his stripes. And I am healed in Jesus' mighty name. So we say distractions, we know what you are. We say distractions, we know how you work. And we declare that we will not give up. We will not quit. We will not surrender. We're going to shut our mouth until we can say something that has faith in it. And when we do speak, we declare and it makes things change. Because it's powerful and it's full of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.